Shine.fm presents Stronger Together, a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationships, and community. Here's Seth Tower Hurd.
This is Stronger Together. It's a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationship, and community. My name is Seth Tower Hurd. It's amazing to look back at the last year and look at the fact that one Hollywood executive being brought down over sexual harassment changed the conversation completely, actually inside and outside the church, about gender. And we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into that. Tara Beth Leach joins me. The book is called Emboldened, A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry. I'm not sure, like, am I supposed to like disclose that like we knew each other in college? And,
I knew you.
I've never been in that situation before where it's like, am I supposed to act like we don't know each other?
So should I like share all the dirt that I remember from you in college?
That's a different show that will never air. Okay, so you wrote this at a time where this wasn't the conversation it is now. It, you know, I think if you actually look back at 2017, probably the biggest thing in American culture was this conversation about, you know, gender and power and harassment and, you know, people who've been hurt and pushed aside and their stories ignored. And, you know, books take years to go from like idea to Microsoft Word doc to the thing you pick up for $12 on Amazon, right?
Right.
So
right.
Did you feel like that there was, I mean, that was part of actually God's plan for your life, that you started this years ago and then here we are?
Yeah, this conversation for me, A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry, began years ago. I am a woman, I'm a pastor, I'm in ministry. And so this has been just a passion of mine for so long, primarily because of what I see and what I know. And so what I began to see years ago was I didn't see very many people that looked like me behind the pulpit. I was the first woman I ever heard preach, besides Beth Moore, who is a Bible teacher, primarily to women. And so when God called me into ministry years ago, I had just a really anemic imagination for what that was to look like. And I often say that the church has a severely anemic imagination for just her vision of living into the fullness of men and women serving alongside of one another. And so what I began to see was that there weren't very many people out there that looked like me. There weren't very many people that sounded like me behind the pulpit. And then I began to see the statistics. And when I began stewarding this conversation in spaces and circles and speaking about it and blogging about it and then coming out with this book, the statistics were something like 8% of pastors within my tribe, my denomination, are women. The national statistic is currently 9%. So think about that. Sunday mornings, pastors that are stepping behind the pulpit, 91% of them are men. And yet something like 35% of those graduating from seminary are women. And so what's happening in, say, tribes like mine that affirms women in ministry, especially since her inception, what's happening is they are going out into the world in all of their passion and gifts and running into closed doors. They're not finding a place to serve. And so what the Bride of Christ is doing, because of her anemic imagination, we are sidelining half of the church. And I think that we will continue to limp along and miss out on the fullness of the mission of God until we begin empowering our sisters.
This is Stronger Together. It's a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationship, and community. Tara Beth Leach joins me. The book is Emboldened, A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry. So getting into your head a little bit, like you're trying to do this thing in life that most people don't do. And I'm trying to imagine what that would be like to put myself in your shoes, right? Like if I wanted to have a career or felt like I was supposed to do something that like just people didn't think you could do. Maybe if I was going to say, well, I'm going to go to China and be a pop singer. There's like 37 million reasons why that can't happen.
Right.
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 And yet you just didn't stop on that.
Yeah.
Like, cause most people quit on things.
Yeah.
You know, being in the kind of the what I've done with my life, I've had 17 million people tell me ideas from, hey, I want to make this app, to I want to write a book, to I think God is calling me to create a stage play. And nobody, I mean, like, I listen because I'm nice and I'm extroverted, but nobody does it.
Right, right, right. Well, and for me, my story is really simply about taking one faithful step after the next. And so I never set out to be the senior pastor of a historic flagship church, large church in our denomination. I never thought someday that's what I want to do. My heart's cry, my passion, my burn was to preach the gospel. And that is where I did not want to give up or stop. But, you know, it's interesting what you said. I mean, you know, it's hard for you to understand what it's like to be in my shoes. I mean, it's being a woman in ministry is awesome and fun, and I wouldn't want anything else. And it also is full of challenges. You know, women pastors experience things that a male pastor may not experience. For example, I often say to my brothers, you know, something that I've experienced many times while preaching, people will get up while I'm preaching because they can't listen to a woman preacher, or if they find out that I'm a senior pastor, or, you know, my brothers in Christ have probably never received countless letters and emails from other people explaining why, you know, they shouldn't be preaching, why they shouldn't be a pastor, why they're leading the church into hell, why the church is going to hell because of the female senior pastor. You know, it's just that's a everyday reality for women in ministry.
I'll probably get a taste of it with this episode.
Yeah, yes, you probably
will. I don't think
will.
My email address is that public, but I'll probably get a little bit of what you're talking about to understand.
You know, and it's even interesting, I'm speaking at an event for Olivet Nazarene University, and again, Nazarenes are very affirming of women, but this is an institution whose reach is broad, and so we are reaching denominations that aren't necessarily affirming of women senior pastors, women in positions like this. And it's interesting to know that there are women listening to me this weekend that know I'm a senior pastor, that are going to go home to their churches tomorrow morning, and they're going to hear from the pulpit that women should not be preachers or teachers, or they're going to walk home with my book emboldened, and they're going to have to wrestle through that and struggle.
Okay, so I actually think I have a different take on this than almost everybody, because, you know, I'm actually from the 1%. 1% of Americans grew up on working farms. And if you grew up on a farm, you have this sense that everybody is necessary. Everybody is needed because, you know, mom, dad, son, daughter, man, woman, boy, girl, whatever. If you don't do your part, the whole thing could fail. And there could be, you know, very dire situations that the family will go through. So, you know, if I leave the gate open when I was 8 and the bull runs out on the highway and gets killed by a semi, we're out several $1,000s. And that is the family business, you know. And so what that leads to is that, you know, I just grew up in a world where men and women, you know, boys, girls, whatever, you just feel like you're so essential that it's just such a different paradigm.
Right.
Then I think if you grew up in the suburbs or the city, and it's not like anybody has this like clear cut statement. It's just like we've all kind of worked together. And I think I grew up in a church like that, too, that it just takes everybody. And so it wasn't until I got to college until I saw some other views. And, you know, obviously some people are going to listen to this episode and, you know, and probably, you know, disagree with me. And I'm not a very theological person in general. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that maybe part of how we see gender, the point is just like not necessarily even the Bible, just like how your childhood worked. I mean, is that fair?
Right. Well, and even Christianity, we have packaged men and women into roles. And so we have this thing called gender roles. You know, if you are a man, your role is to lead. Your role is to be, say, the leader, the pastor, the spiritual authority. And if you are a woman, your role is to care for the children. Your role is to follow, to submit. And if you have gifts to teach and preach, that's great. We celebrate that, but in the presence of children or women only. And like what you said, I mean, it's wild to think about that there are women that have incredible gifts to lead, incredible gifts to teach, incredible gifts to preach. But because of their gender, we've told them, well, that's not your role. And I think to go back to the farming analogy, you know, imagine a drought, imagine a farming crisis. If we're in a farming crisis, or a drought, or a famine, we don't care whether it is a male or a female working in those fields. What we care about is willing people, willing hearts, and gifted people who know what they're doing. And so, so same with the church. We are in a drought. The church, we're in a post-Christian context. We don't need to convince many people that the church is, we're in a post-Christian world, that the church is in decline. And I don't know about you, Seth, but if I were dying of a heart attack right here, I don't care if it's a male or female doing CPR on me. And in the same vein, goodness, the church is headed into, the trajectory is not beautiful, except for what Scripture says, which is what we ultimately lean on. We know where this story is going. We know that the bride of Christ will flourish, that the gates of hell will not prevail. And at the same time, we do have churches closing their doors. And so we need men and women, all hands on deck, living into the fullness of their gifts.
And we're going to kind of pivot here and then we'll come back to the main topic. But, you know, on this idea that, like, you know, Christians are becoming the minority, it's 2018. I think it's time to just go ahead and get it that that's happening and say, what does God have for us right now? As opposed to getting like offended at every little thing. Like for the 20th century, for, you know, most of when most of us have been alive, you could be kind of offended that someone would kind of slight you for being a Christian or whatever. And you know, society would probably push back and say that's not real good. Now it's just like, you're probably just gonna have to deal with it,
right?
You know, and there's a lot of stuff in the New Testament about that. And you know, fortunately, we live in a pretty stable democracy where you're not gonna be, you know, physically hurt or
right.
run off, and nobody's right. gonna burn your house down. But you're probably just gonna have to deal with the fact that this is now a minority belief system, and the gospel's actually flourished usually when that's happened.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And really, the closer we stick to the gospels and the teachings of Jesus, the more minority we become, the more radical we sound, the more countercultural we are.
This is Stronger Together. It's a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationship, and community. Tara Beth Leach joins me. The book is Empowered, Emboldened. I need to just hold the book because I keep looking back at it if you're watching the video and not listening on the radio. A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry. So what does empowering actually look like then? Like really actual stuff you do.
Yeah. Well, I chose the word actually emboldened because it's just such a different meaning rather than empowering. And I mean, they're both. We've got to embolden. We've got to empower our sisters. But when I think about emboldened, I imagine coming alongside of you, my brother, my sister, and speaking life into them, helping create a path so they can boldly move ahead using their gifts and the power and authority of the Spirit of the living God. And so knowing that there are so many sisters in Christ that are gifted to lead, to teach, to preach, that are not using their gifts, they perhaps are sidelined. It takes the entire Bride of Christ, men and women, seeking those women out to embolden them and to empower them. And so I have a whole chapter on men who embolden women, you know, and that there's just so many different ways that men in leadership within churches can do something about this. You know, so if you have the power in your church to put people on the platform, perhaps consider putting women on the platform. So often when young women walk into churches, they see male-only platforms, male-only leadership teams. So their imagination is going to continue to be anemic because we can never imagine what we never see. But if we begin to do simple things like putting women in visible places behind the pulpit, on the platform, then all of a sudden the young women walking into the congregation say, wait, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could lead. Maybe I have a role leading, preaching, and teaching in the church. And suddenly, just by that simple thing, we are emboldening and empowering our sisters in ministry. And so in the book Emboldened, I list just so many different ways that spouses, that men, that women can embolden their sisters. There's really a practical book.
Okay. Well, let's go a little deeper on that then. And maybe specifically talk about like child rearing as well. Cause I mean, you've got boys.
Yes. Yes.
So, maybe you can personally speak a little bit more to parenting boys, but obviously you're in a church, so you're dealing with a lot of girls as well. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So I actually wrote about a lot about parenting and marriage, in the book, which is very relevant, you know, because part of, I'm a mom and I'm a pastor and I'm a wife, all really important roles. And so, for me, when I was a pastor and I first found out I was pregnant, all of a sudden my imagination just shrunk again because I thought, I'm pregnant. That must mean that I have to give this up and walk away from ministry and I need to stay home full time. And there are plenty of women who I truly believe God has called to stay home full time. But I thought that that meant I had to give up ministry forever. And what I learned is that pastoring and motherhood doesn't mean that we have to give up pastoring. It just means it's going to look different. And in every season of life, every new stage that my boys enter into, it looks different. It's fresh. It's new. It's different. It looks different for my husband and I. We're constantly, you know, coming back to the drawing board and talking about our schedules, the give, the take, who's going to be where and when. It's very much of a marriage where, I guess what you would call an egalitarian marriage, where we realize that we're in this together, that we don't put each other into roles. And so sometimes Jeff is taking the primary role at home as a caretaker. Sometimes I'm taking the primary role at home as a caretaker. Sometimes he's leading, sometimes I'm leading.
You know, what's interesting about that is a lot of the conversations that we've historically had in the church about, you know, marriage and career in particular, is that like we're getting into this weird thing where more and more people have jobs or have incomes that don't necessarily look anything like, you know, what has normally been like, well, you go to an office and or a factory and on Fridays you get a paycheck and then you get a gold watch after 30 years and you watch Wheel of Fortune or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. So what's interesting about the conversations about marriage is that now we have people who are making a living on YouTube and who are making a living just selling stuff on Amazon. And then the conversation about like childcare and career and stuff like, you know, when it doesn't look like what a career normally looks like, it seems like a lot of those conversations are going to look really different. Mm-hmm. You know, what if both people are working at home, making a living online, you know, and you got kids.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it just looks different. And we can no longer, and we probably should have never, but we can no longer box, you know, ourselves into saying marriage looks this way and only this way. And what I mean by that is in roles. I mean, ultimately, I say that we as Christians, we declare that marriage looks a lot like Jesus and the bride of Christ. And that is what we put our stake in the ground in. But how that is lived out in the day in, the day out, the morning, the dishwashers, the beds, the laundry, the child rearing, the working, the careers, we've got to constantly be open to a fresh imagination of what that looks like, knowing that we're still putting our stakes in the ground, that it looks like Jesus and the bride of Christ. But, you know, it's constantly changing.
Terry Beth Leach, the book is Emboldened. This is Stronger Together. It's a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationship, and community. You just mentioned that, you know, you did a women's event and that there were a lot of women who were in the audience who weren't going to agree with you. Some of them won't ever agree with you, right?
Yeah.
So where do you find common ground there? Or what do you hope that they walk away with from hearing you speak, from reading a book? Like, you know, if you make a friend and you know that that woman is never going to agree with you, kind of, how do you take that? What do you do with it?
Yeah. I mean, what I care about most is Jesus, the mission of God and the bride of Christ's participation in the mission of God. And so this event that I am teaching and preaching at, you know, ultimately, I hope that they get an imagination, that their imagination is expanded just a little bit more for the kingdom vision rooted in scripture of how men and women are to live in relationship to one another and in participation in the mission of God. And so ultimately, I hope they see Jesus in me. And I don't say that in a over spiritualized kind of way. I truly believe that I'm a pastor at heart. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a preacher. And I hope that they walk away saying, I just encountered Jesus through the proclamation of the word of God. And then, you know, if they also happen to walk away with an imagination for women pastors, then thanks be to God.
I'm going to put myself on the hot seat kind of here as we wrap this thing up, okay? Because I think a lot of people who, you know, maybe who are even back in church feel like they got burned really bad or they're really upset about something. I've never felt that. I grew up in a very rural church that was actually physically built by my great-great-grandparents. And then a pastor was hired. And actually, my other set of great-great-grandparents actually donated the land. Mm. And I love the way I grew up and, you know, have never really felt burned or hurt in any situation. Mm-hmm. I've just kind of lived different places and gone to different churches. Sherry from Shine.fm Mornings was actually just on Stronger Together last week. And she talked about how, you know, because of what she does, she doesn't really do a whole lot with church. Yeah. And I would say that almost my whole adult life, like I maybe attended tithe and maybe attended a small group. I've tried to volunteer here and there and it's just never really stuck. And yet there are other things that like, I feel like I'm good at that other people aren't. Like I just made a new friend who's an Iraqi refugee who said he doesn't have a lot of friends. I'll be in the worst neighborhoods in Chicago trying to talk to 19-year-old kids about starting businesses that I feel like maybe most people in the church aren't empowered, if you want to use the title of your book. What do you say to people like me that really think they have maybe nothing to do in church except attend, which is all I've ever felt?
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, ultimately, you are the church. We are the church. And what I always say to my congregation almost every Sunday is simply just a real simple phrase, and that's this: Seth, I need you. You need me. We need you. You need us. In other words, it isn't just about, it's not about hierarchy, and it's not about the pastor dispensing, you know, a sermon and people coming to church to get something. But the gathering and what we do as the bride of Christ is actually pushing up against one another, edifying one another, using our gifts so that we can be strengthened as a bride of Christ to better participate in the mission of God, to be empowered and to be emboldened. And so, Seth, I need your gifts. I need you. And I don't. And when I say that, I don't mean I need you on Sunday mornings to pass out the bulletins, though that's important. I don't want to diminish that. What I need from you, Seth, is for you to live in the fullness of your gifts. And if that happens through this radio show and you expanding the imagination of the bride of Christ and getting people talking, then that's what we need. And also, you need me. You need my gifts. And we, the church, we need you. We need your voice. And you need us. You need us every single Sunday to gather together. And so to me, it's all about giftings. And I need you. You need me. We need you.
And
you need
I think us. I'd be super cool at some point in my life with passing out, passing out bulletins or doing whatever I can to help. I'm in a season where, you know, I spend most of my time running a digital agency and I'm able to contribute to Shine FM, which I was on for 10 years in this manner. And my wife and I are having kid number one. And if I take my eye off the ball on either family or career things or these other weird people that God put in my life, like somebody's going to suffer and I just don't have any more things, you know? And I was just curious. And I do think that, you know, I will volunteer in not this particular month, but I think that's important. But it's interesting that, that you were just cool with that because I'm not sure everybody would be.
Right,
that, like,
right.
I feel like my calling right now is hang out with Iraqi refugees and help 19-year-olds in bad neighborhoods start business.
No, I mean, that's your participation in the mission of God. Gathering is important. That's what we do. It's distinctive as the Christians. And also participation in the mission of God is distinctive to what we do as Christians. And so someday the Spirit might lead you into a season of using your gifts to teach or to participate in conversations within your local church. But I think it's just constantly asking the Spirit, okay, God, what is it? What is the yes that you want me to say yes to right now? What's that yes? And constantly just asking the Spirit and also asking the church, the bride of Christ, where do you need me? How can I participate? How can I serve you?
I'm just going to, as long as I'm getting myself in trouble in this episode, you know, I'm going to say that sometimes I'm a person who leaves and no matter what kind of church I've been to, sometimes the sermon just kind of didn't click with me a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the worship just didn't click with me a whole bunch. But what I've found is that if I'm not showing up, like every area of my life suffers. And so even when it doesn't make sense to me and I didn't feel like necessarily something happened, I just trust Jesus that, like, well, I'm supposed to be gathered with other believers, so I'm still going to do it.
Exactly. No, and that's important. It's, you know, I think that American Christianity, we've kind of packaged it in just kind of a consumerist package, if you will. And what happens is sometimes people say, I wasn't feeling the sermon, I wasn't feeling the worship, so if I'm not getting anything out of it, then I'm out. But we do, we really need to keep asking the question, what does fidelity look like within the bride of Christ? What is faithfulness? What is faithfulness to you, saying, Seth, I'm showing up for you every week and you're showing up for me every week, because we need to strengthen one another and edify one another. Even when your singing isn't hit me in the right way, or even when your preaching isn't get me in the right way, we need each other.
Tara Beth Leach, the book is called Emboldened, A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry. Obviously, you do some speaking. I mean, is that going to happen anymore in the Midwest this year? Or
I don't think I'm in the Midwest. I'm on the West Coast a couple times this year, Northwest. I don't think I'm back in the Midwest this year.
Okay. So, you know, if you missed the event with Juliana Zobrist and Ellie Holcomb and Sherry from Shine.fm Mornings, I guess you're out of luck for a year. We'll see you next year. The book is called Emboldened, A Vision for Empowering Women in Ministry. Hey, if you missed any part of this conversation of Stronger Together, you can search Shine.fm podcasts wherever you subscribe to audio, or you can search Shine.fm on Facebook or YouTube to view the video. This is Shine.fm.
That was Stronger Together, a show about growing in marriage, parenting, relationships, and community. Subscribe to the Shine.fm podcast to catch every episode of Stronger Together, available on the iTunes podcast app and wherever podcasts are available.